today I'm going to speak to you on a subject that seems fitting based upon the holiday that we're getting ready to come up to. I want to talk to you about I will give thanks. Would you just help me pray one more time before the preaching of the word? Lord, we come to you today thankful to be in your presence in your house today. Lord, you've been so good to us. God, I pray today as your word goes forth that you would encourage somebody here today. Help them to feel your presence, your anointing in this place. Change our lives, our mindsets, Lord, our outlooks. Lord, we trust you in your word today and give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I will give thanks today. Isolated and alone in a dark corner of even a darker place, he listened to footsteps that were echoing down the corridor and knew in his heart that they could be the sounds of the guards that would carry him to his execution. Any day now, any moment, he would have his last breath. By any standard of this world, he would be a man that was taken too soon. It would be a life that would be considered cut off in its prime. A world of possible tomorrows would be stolen from him. And in a very dark place, he waits for a final moment to come. He's separated from friends. He's separated from family. He's unjustly accused, beaten. And if ever a person had a right to complain, it was this man. Locked away in a Roman prison, sentenced to death for being a messenger of life. But instead of complaints today, we hear words that were written of thanksgiving and praise. This man was Apostle Paul in the Roman prison. He wrote many of his writings that we find today. He learned the true meaning of thanksgiving from that moment. Even in the midst of a great adversity in his life, I want to point you to the words that were written by Paul to the church in Ephesus during these exact moments of prison. He waits there and waiting to figure out when his last day is going to be. And from prison, he admonishes the church in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. He said, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about this scripture for a moment. It's important to have context from the author and from the circumstance that they were written. Give thanks always for all things, no matter the circumstance, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you find yourself, give thanks always for all things. That's an easy thing for us to read, but if you realize that the writer was writing from an executioner jail cell, he knew that his days were numbered, and yet he could still write and encourage the church in Ephesus to give thanks. I don't know that I would have been so spiritual in those moments. I don't know that I would have had the relationship perhaps that I needed to have to encourage others when I was found myself in a prison cell. Of course, we're focusing today on Thanksgiving because of the holiday that we have this month and about giving thanks. And I recognize that. I enjoy Thanksgiving. I enjoy family holidays and getting together. I enjoy most of the time because that includes food. Somebody say amen. Now, I will tell you, I don't love every food. If you know me at all, you know that I'm picky. And I don't enjoy every food that comes along with Thanksgiving. My wife insists on cooking it. Though there's not very many of our family, the extended family, yes, but our close family, that the green bean casserole. I'm not going to eat a green bean casserole. I appreciate the effort. I'm thankful for somebody to cook it, but I'm not going to put it on my plate, babe. No, you know. So I just don't love that. What's the red stuff? Cranberries. Some people make it. Some people get it out of a can. For a long time, we had it on in a can. We didn't have it in my house growing up, but when my wife, when I married my wife, we would have it at my mother-in-law's. And I'm sure if she wanted to, she could make a really good cranberry whatever on her own, but she would use it out of a can. And my son thought that was incredible. He would eat, it looks like Jell-O, and he loved it. I don't love cranberry whatever. There's some things I don't like, but I enjoy turkey and ham and rolls and butter and potatoes, and all of that is good. And probably what's even better is that evening when you can take the turkey that's left over and fry it up in a cast iron pan and put it. Now, some people will put mayonnaise on the rolls, and that ruins it. All right? That's not of God. But we put butter on those. Butter on those and some fried turkey, maybe some cheese. I hear that. But we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, and it's a good thing. We need to do that. I would encourage you to do that. Be together with family and friends and love one another and encourage one another. That's really what that holiday is all about. But I'm here to remind us this morning that Thanksgiving is more than just a once-a-year celebration, or it should be. For a child of God, Thanksgiving should be a daily reality that turns every circumstance or every dark and damp, musty prison cell into a sanctuary of praise and thanksgiving unto God. If you don't learn anything else from the life of Paul and his writings, I would encourage you to learn this. One of the most distinctive characteristics of a believer today is a constant attitude of thanksgiving. I will give thanks. If he can pen in hand and write those words admonishing the church in Ephesus to always be thankful in all things from the dark recesses of an oppressive prison cell, if he can do that, how much more should you and I face everything that's going on in our lives with an attitude of thanksgiving? We should be able to do that. Whatever you do, don't let a spirit of ingratitude harden your heart and rob you of your joy. It will sap you of your strength. You might say today, but Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my life. I can't give thanks for what's going on in the circumstances surrounding my family and my job. And I don't know, I can't give thanks, but I'm encouraging you. If Paul can write it, listen, our circumstances should have no bearing on whether or not you give thanks to God. They should not have any bearing. From a prison cell, Paul said, give thanks always for all things. And when you think about his situation, how horrific it had to have been in his shoes, how his whole life was pared down to nothing more than the bare essentials of surviving for the moment. There were no material blessings, comforts of life to draw strength from. There was no counsel of friends to lean on. There was really no promise of even making it another day. And when you think about the darkness that had to have been that he was facing and living in and the severity of his situation, you've got to stop and wonder, what do you have to thank God for? What is it that you can, what are you drawing from to give thanks to God given your current situation? And that would be fair. It would be a fair question to ask him. But I want to remind you today and remind all of us today of the words of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 100, verses 4 and 5. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And the beginning of verse 5 says this, for the Lord is good. Why do I give him thanks and why do I give him praise? Because the Lord is good. If you can't find any other reason to thank God for, you can stop right now and give him thanks because God is good. God is good. Not because my circumstance is good and not because everything around me is good, but give thanks unto God because he is good. And no matter where I am or what I'm going through or what my life looks like, it doesn't detract from the fact that God is good. Goodness is his essence. It's his nature. It's who he is. And anybody can thank him for the good things that are provided to them. Anybody can thank him for the things that they receive from him, for his goodness and his provision. But when we look at the final days of Paul's life, when all of those things are stripped away from him, we're reminded that we don't just praise for those things. We praise him because he is good. We don't just thank him for good gifts. We thank him because he is good. I can trust him. Hear me today. You can trust him when we don't know what tomorrow holds because he is good. I can find comfort in his presence this morning because I trust in his goodness. And I can find joy in the fact that he is good today. But it's not dependent on my life. God is good. That's who he is. You've got to settle this in your heart today. No matter what you are going through personally right now, his goodness is beyond reproach. His goodness is beyond reproach. It's not only that he was good or he will eventually be good. Again, he is perpetually good no matter what is transpiring in your life. That alone should be enough to lift your voice and give thanks to God for his goodness. God, you're good. You are just good. That's your nature. You are good. You do all things well. Reminds me of a song that we've sung around here a few times. It says, You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is for, help me sing that one more time. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. You are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. Come on, it's a simple chorus. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. Your kindness is forever. Your goodness is forever. Your mercy is forever. Forever. You are good. Why don't you slip a hand? You are good. Let's just worship him for a moment. You are good. And your mercy is, in spite of what I'm going through, you are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy, in spite of the doctor's report, you are good. In spite of my finances, you are good. You are good, and your mercy is forever. You are good. Lord, you're good all the time. You are good. You are good, and your mercy is. God is good. That's who he is. God is good. His nature is goodness and mercy. If you don't have anything else to thank him for right now, Lord, I thank you because you're good. I thank you because the goodness of your provision to my, you're good, God. I just give thanks today. I don't have to do it based upon what my bank account looks. I can just tell you, you're good today. I love you, Jesus. I love you, God. You're good. You're good. I will give thanks. But the psalmist doesn't stop there. He goes on in verse 5, he says, for the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. God's mercy is part of his goodness, but the psalmist singles out the mercy of God as another reason why we should give thanks to him. Angels, listen, angels can say that he is good, but they don't have a need for his mercy. Creation to declare the goodness of God, but it can't experience his mercy. But you and I, we know his goodness firsthand because his mercy, and it's in mercy that we find another reason to thank him. I don't know where you're at today, but I can tell you from the perspective I'm looking at in my life, if it were not for the mercy and the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing here today. If it was not for the provision of God saying, listen, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to bless you. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to spare you. You don't deserve it, but I'm going to keep you safe. I'm telling you, we have a merciful God today that's worthy of all praise and all honor today. He's merciful. His mercy, there's no expiration date on mercy. Lamentations tells us that his mercy is new every morning. You don't run out. It's not a bank account that gets accounted for every day. Every morning his mercy is new. There's no expiration date. His mercy can reach me wherever I am. I'm thankful for a merciful God. It's a reason that we give thanks to God. He is good. His mercy is everlasting. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for mercy today. I'm thankful for mercy today. Listen, we talked about it on Wednesday night. Under the blood, under the law, all those things that we had to deal with, nobody could measure up to the law. If it were not for that mercy seat that God has allowed in our life, if it were not for that rending of the temple curtain that allows us into his presence, even though we're not worthy, and his righteousness clothes us, his merciful kindness is forever. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. My situation doesn't always tell the truth about God. What I see sometimes contradicts what I know. Somebody hear me today. What I see with my eyes sometimes will contradict what I know. For instance, I know the Bible will tell me that he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. He's as close as the mention of his name. He's closer than a brother. That's what I know. I know the Word of God tells me that. But I know in my circumstances it makes me feel like I'm alone. And my circumstances and my situation I'm in, maybe facing today, makes me feel isolated. It makes me feel cut off. When Paul says to thank him in all things, he's acknowledging the fact that the truth about God doesn't change under my circumstances. The truth about God isn't subject to the events in my life that are going on. The truth of God is just truth. God is good. God is merciful. God is a way maker. God is my help and my strength in the time of trouble. It doesn't matter what my circumstances are or what they may try to say about the God that I serve. It only matters what my heart will declare. And my heart says, God is good, God's mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I'll give thanks today. That's why David wrote, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. That means in the good times when everything's flowing into the bank account and I've got everything lined up and it's going great, I'm going to give thanks to him. But in the bad times, that's the all times too, when nothing seems to go right and everything's going wrong, I'm still going to give thanks. His praise will continually be in my mouth. If you can begin to see this and grasp this like Paul did in your life, you will see a change in your walk with God. When your praise is not predicated on the blessings that come your way, and it's only solely on the fact that God is worthy and he's good and is merciful, it will change the dynamic of your walk with God. Because you're not reactionary. You're not saying, oh, now God blessed me, I'll praise him. It's just a thing that I wake up with every morning. God, you're good. God, you're merciful. God, it doesn't matter what I'm walking through today, I'm going to praise you because of who you are. Does that mean we don't praise him for the blessings? No, absolutely. We give thanks to him for everything that he provides for us. That's that thanksgiving heart. But I'm also not limiting my praise to the moments that I get something from him. Does that make sense? I'll give him thanks. His truth endures to all generations. That's just one passage out of the book of Psalms. But the entire book of Psalms is filled from one end to the other with reasons to give thanks to God. What I'm telling you today is that when Paul told the church to give thanks to the Lord always for all things, his thankfulness was not dependent upon his surroundings. You only have to consider the character and the attributes of God to find a plethora of reasons to worship him and to give him thanks. He is all powerful. Everything is subject to his power. He's all knowing. Nothing escapes his knowledge today. He's almighty. He's sovereign Lord over everything. He's all I need. If I have nothing else, he is enough. That's why I can give thanks today. That's why I can give praise today. Many times we're guilty of letting our situation dictate our praise or lack thereof. I just can't praise today. My heart's too heavy today. I'm still frustrated today. I can't give God praise. But I want to remind you that you always have a reason to be thankful. He alone is worthy of praise by himself. If he doesn't do one more thing for me, I should still be able to get up every morning and say, God, you're good. God, you're merciful. God, your truth endures to all generations. It's not predicated on my moments. It's not predicated on my circumstances. It's who he is. And if you can get a hold of that, it will sustain you through times that are not easy. I know today that there are situations in this room that are not easy. I know that there are people in this room walking through some valleys that are pretty dark. Just like that jail cell that Paul was writing from to the church in Ephesus. I know that you're walking some hallways that you didn't want to be in, and that if you had your way, you would have found a way out of a long time ago. And I understand that the pressure that you feel on a daily basis from what you're... I get all of that, but I've tried to come today and encourage you. I can't tell you today that he's going to pick you out of that and pull you and put you somewhere else in the next 10 minutes. But what I can tell you is if you can begin to give him praise based on who he is and honor based upon who he is and not what he has already done for you, it will revolutionize your walk with him. Suddenly that valley's not going to be so deep and that hallway is not going to be so dark because you've got him right beside you. Nothing will sap your spiritual strength and vitality faster than an unthankful heart. Don't give in to that critical spirit. Don't give in to the woe is me that robs you of your joy, because the joy of the Lord really is the source of your strength. Let me tell you how to replenish your soul. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Listen, David, I can't get away from the character of David. I've taught about it. I've preached about it. I've studied it. There's so much there because it relates to you and I. He is such a human man dealing with human emotions and human failures, and yet we see somebody whose heart was after God, who could still praise God even though he was walking through some dark times, who God could still use even though he didn't deserve it, because God was showing us his mercy and his grace. And David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Don't give in to that spirit of frustration. Rejoice in the Lord always. Somebody can give him thanks. I wonder today, when's the last time you just said, God, I just want to thank you for being who you are. I want to thank you for your goodness. God, you're the creator of all things. You breathe the breath of life into every one of us. God, everything that was created was by you. There wasn't anything that was created that you didn't create. So I'm just going to praise you today for who you are. I may not have any other answered prayers to thank you for today, but that is alone enough for me to worship you this morning. Brother Randy, can you help me? The singers, get ready. We're going to close here in just a minute. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God made this day. Everything that this day entails, God knows. Everything that's going on, God is aware of. I'm just come to encourage somebody today that even in the middle of a prison, God has not forgotten about you. Paul, just keep doing what you're doing. You're encouraging somebody who doesn't even realize what you're going through, but God can still use you in a prison house. He has not abandoned you. God has not cut you off from his goodness. It's the knowledge. Listen, how do you make it day to day dealing with these situations? It's the knowledge that he made this day. That releases me to rejoice and be glad in it. If I made this day, if my decisions made this day, if it was all a result of my choices, I wouldn't have the wherewithal to rejoice in this day. But knowing that God made this day, that he knows everything about me and everything that's going on in my life, I can have safety in knowing that God made this day. And if there's something coming my way, God's with me already and I trust him. If I'm walking through a valley, David said, you can prepare me a meal in the presence of mine enemies. In the middle of what I'm facing, this battle, you can sustain me. And so I'm going to give you praise today. God hasn't cut you off from his goodness. Listen, just because you're walking through something right now doesn't mean that he doesn't see you. God sees you. And I'm trying to encourage somebody today, don't let your circumstances dictate your worship. Don't let what you're walking through right now decide who and what gets your praise. It only should be going to him. And regardless of what everything else looks like, he's still worthy. He's still worthy of every bit of praise. He's good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generation. I'm going to close with this today. I'm asking you to stand. I want to draw your attention to the last phrase of Psalms 118 to 24. We often misquote this verse and say that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's not what it says. It says we will rejoice and be glad in it. We have something today that Paul didn't have in his prison cell. We have a community of believers. We have the fellowship of the cross. We've come together to rejoice in the Lord today. Yes, Paul's situation shows us that thanksgiving is something that can be done alone. You can rejoice in the Lord alone, and you should. But there's something powerful that happens in a community of believers when we rejoice together, when we worship together, when we lift up our hands and our voices and we sing together. We can sing his praises together. We can give him thanks together. Listen, what I want to do today, we're going to end with a song. And this is how I want to finish today. Not a normal altar call, but I'm wondering if we can all just kind of take some steps forward and fill this altar area and our aisleways. And we're going to rejoice together. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So why don't you come? Why don't you guys just kind of fill up here real quick? I'm not going to embarrass anybody. We're just going to, as a church family, we're getting ready to go into the week of Thanksgiving. And before we leave today, I want us to, with one voice, give thanks to Him. We're going to worship Him for just a few moments here together. Maybe lay a hand on somebody's shoulder, encourage them as we do this. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. I'm asking you to take aside what's going on in your life right now. The frustrations of this, the struggles, what's going on that you currently aren't able to get the answer for. And I'm asking you to set that down for a moment. And I'm asking you just to lift your hands and begin to worship. We're going to sing together a song that most of us will know. And we're just going to lift our hands and our voice and we're going to give God praise. Because this is the day that God has made. He's gone before us. He's gone before us. He already knows the end from the beginning. There's not one thing that's happened in your life that God hasn't already prepared you for. He has you in the palm of His hand. Come on, why don't you just lift your hands and begin to love Him. I love you, Jesus.
Your goodness is running after. It's running.
in your own words right now. Would you just lift your hands and give him your own thanks today? God, I can't thank you enough for your goodness, your mercy, your loving kindness. I honor you today. I glorify you today. Sometimes it's in spite of what's going on, but you're still worthy. Sometimes it's for what's happening in my life, and you're worthy. But even in spite of things, you're worthy. I love you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're good. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth endures to all generations. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Why don't you turn to a neighbor this morning and tell him, I will give thanks. I'll give thanks. No matter what's going on in my life, I will give thanks. I'm gonna make sure that this is my mindset going forward. We're beginning to start a new year in just a few short weeks. That's my mindset. I'm going to give thanks in everything. I'm going to give thanks because he's good. He's good. Amen.